money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Welcome to the show. This is where the show, I'm going to say that again. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. And I was just thinking, my mouth got ahead of my, or my,
head,
my head got ahead of my mouth.
Should I start this
no,
for you?
No. Okay. But I'm a little bit excited just that it's you and I in the studio today. So I was like, we get to do another show together.
Well, we've had a lot of guests this spring. So the month of June has been a little bit quieter just with the two of us. But I was we're at the end of June and it's like Canada Day weekend and we're like, and I often think, what can we do for the Canada Day show? And I try and do shows around the holiday that it is. And I've done very poorly at that over the last year. Like I missed Valentine's.
But this is a bit of a milestone and it is a good time. We are almost exactly halfway through the year.
Well, this is this is actually what came to me. I was looking on the internet, like, what can we talk about Canada Day? You can go back and listen to all our Canada Day shows because we're like now on episode 385. Mm-hmm. Like we've got a few shows under our belt, but I was thinking, wait a minute. I wonder what the halfway point of the year is. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it's July 2nd. Like, I don't know, like midnight or something or 2 a.m. or you can Google it. What's the halfway point? Because it's leap year. It's different than other years.
Sure.
So July 2nd is the halfway point. And I just looked at you and said, Dave, how are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are we doing?
Such a good question for, you know, when you say that right away, my brain just went to the kids going, are we there yet? No, we're only halfway.
That's not a very positive thought, Dave. That's not a positive thought.
Sorry, it's where my brain went.
It's summer. This is good. Anyway, it's so we're asking ourselves and you the question, how are you doing? How are you doing? Of course, this is a financial show where we talk about the hard issues of money. We're looking at our podcast of 2024 and we think of all the sponsors that have. Our whole year has been sponsored. The first time we've had every show sponsored by others who are helping us spread the message. And it's, again, notmine.ca. Today is our sponsor and we're so grateful. We've had Ray on the show this month and we had a great discussion last week. And I just am really grateful for notmine.ca. They are just a group of people at Financial Discipleship Canada who just are eager to see us connecting our financial journeys with our journeys with Christ. And that's part of our heart here at More Than Enough. And on the radio show, we talk about the hard issues of money. And you guys know you can find our podcast all over the place and on chri.ca, notmine.ca, and our own website, morethanenough.ca. So I was just thinking about all of that as I was reflecting on how are we doing halfway through this year.
And I think I want to give two little plugs, if we can, to, you know, I thought back to between now and January and going, oh my goodness, like there are some pretty significant things that have happened. And, you know, we've talked in the past shows and in fact, the last 16 years, the whole point of More Than Enough was to help the Canadian family get prepared for, we were in a low interest rate environment. We were so we knew that financially, the economic markets were going to change significantly. Mm-hmm. And 16 years ago, we saw that and started talking about the message of just get your house in order, learn about how, money and you and your spouse or your family all work. So like, those are all the shows. This is the heart of what More Than Enough exists. Mm-hmm. And here we are today you know, and essentially have got to a place where interest rates are higher, where there's lots of volatility in the economy, where we're looking at, you know, we've all become familiar with the words inflation and deflation and exflation and all, you know.
And we had a great show with Brent Vandermeer earlier this spring, where he talks about the relationship between inflation and interest rates. Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful too. And the good parts of that.
Yeah.
But yes.
Yeah. So all of, and really, I look back between now and January and I say, for us, I mean, we've launched a new education,
yeah,
you know, what we call eFit, and we've launched that so that it's really just a self-directed course where we give you tons of information in a very short period of time, hoping that you can implement some things in that. So we launched eFit, mm-hmm. Where, you know, your,
just lots of
shaking my head just a little
where,
bit.
Where are we at? There's just been a lot, like our coaches are just really active. People mm-hmm. are phoning. Literacy is up, you know, churches are asking for resources, all that kind of thing. And so as a business and ministry, that's kind of where we're at. But I was just thinking, you know, really grateful for God's creative imagination at work in our business, that we could even pull eFit together. And I was also thinking about the scripture verses in 1 Samuel 7, because my pastor years and years and years ago, when he lived in our area, spoke on the Ebenezer Stone. And I've never, ever forgotten it, ever. It's one of those messages. You know how you have a message or two that stick with you? This, because I had never seen this story really in the way he presented it. But 1 Samuel 7 verse, 12, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name as Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And I was just thinking about that Ebenezer stone. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's time on July 2nd to get, I feel like I've said this before somewhere. So if I've said it here, I'm so sorry. You're getting it again. That we actually have that kind of remembrance. Like, thus far, God's helped us in 2024. It hasn't been easy. But why don't we ask God to open our eyes to show us how he has helped us financially? Maybe in ways we thought were actually a hindrance. Maybe we thought there were obstacles. And actually, maybe something happened where it kept us from further financial trouble. And we can say, thus far, God has helped me on this journey.
I look at the scripture and how many times God doesn't say, hey, look back and make a marker like mm-hmm. Samuel did, or make a celebration, or make a point of going, wow, this is where I saw the Lord at work in my name, the area of your life, right? And we're talking about finances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is maybe a good time to sit down, take a half hour, 45 minutes, and just reflect back. Maybe do that with your spouse. Maybe do that with your family. You know, sit down around the table after dinner and say, hey, rather, you know, we're going to take just a few minutes to look back from between now and January 1st mm-hmm. and say, where are the areas where we've just seen the faithfulness of God in our finances or in our family? And just take a few minutes to celebrate that. Just like Samuel did, you know, in the sense of setting up that Ebenezer stone. I think that we're going to have to do that sometime.
You know what? That would be a great, we can have a little campfire and.
Yeah, we love to sit around in the backyard or in the campfire and just
talk
chat.
About, so that, yeah, that talk about how, one. Yeah, I think so.
So remind me, because you know I'm going to forget. So I'm just saying. Yeah.
But I mean, so here's the question. You know, in COVID, I've been thinking about this the Frozen song and Frozen 2 from Disney. I've been thinking about Braun and the radio show we did. I didn't have time to go back and listen to it, but he came on the show probably in 2020, maybe. Braun is one of our entrepreneurial coaches, and he's been a tax specialist with us. He's a retired chartered accountant. And he said right here in this room, just do the next right thing. And I'm like, Brian, did you know that Disney has a song that says the very same thing came out in 2019, just before COVID happened? And we were talking to all of you about, and to us, like, just do the next right thing. Because sometimes we look at the circumstance and just get so overwhelmed, we throw up our hands and it's like, ugh. But if we could do one thing today that would move us forward and then do another thing tomorrow. And all it may be is putting five extra dollars on your debt. Maybe it's not going for Tim Hortons coffee. Maybe it's a calling More Than Enough, or calling another financial advisor you trust, or calling your pastor or a trusted spiritual advisor, spiritual director. Like, doing that, I just need help. Will you pray with me about my finances? Like, just actually moving forward and putting movement behind it. Maybe you're going to look back and think, ah, this is such a discouraging year. I have nothing, you know, good to say about it. I don't know if that's true. Like, as a follower of Christ, you know, we have Christ himself, and that is the most incredible gift. But like, I just think it's really important that we do the next right thing. We find some accountability. We learn right. financial literacy. Maybe we want to give more. Maybe we haven't given and you can give $10 this week that you didn't give yesterday. Like, it's literally, because Dave, we talked about this too. When you add up all the little steps.
Yeah.
A year from now, you're going to be in a different financial place. Like, I can almost promise you that if you are.
No, you can promise you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have examples of that in our own life, but I, you know what, actually, I have one, but okay. I know I've just been rambling on and on.
Well, I want to, before you share the story, if we can do that, but just kind of going back to. Looking back and seeing the, you know, where even between January and now, and looking back and saying, oh, look at the faithfulness of the Lord. Mixed in with that is the partnership that we have with God in these things, and specifically in the financial journey. If you have moved and progressed in a certain direction, then and that's a direction you set out to. I'm just thinking of the bullseye. If you're shooting an arrow at a bullseye, then you have the goal. You see the target. That's what you're shooting for, right? If you're shooting an arrow just because I'm shooting the arrow and I don't have a target, then there's that. Those two are very different. And so part of the looking back is to say, did we actually have some targets between January and now that we wanted to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then don't get stuck in that negative. Go, okay, so looking forward from July to the end of the year, we're halfway through the year. What is one or two goals? What are one or two things in targets that you can say, I'm going to shoot for financially? Mm-hmm. And then to your point, maybe it's $10 increasing your giving every month. Like, you know, you get to pick it. But I think it's really important that we acknowledge the faithfulness to God. But when there's a goal or a target in there, then it becomes very tactile and tangible. We can say, we set out to go here, like Samuel, the Philistines were coming after us. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We drew the line right here. We set up the stone. This far, God has walked with me. And then God said, okay, and the Philistines aren't going to bother you beyond that line anymore, right?
Oh, man. That is so powerful. I mean, and we can't say that God's going to, like, you know, conquer mammon in your life. he could in very practical ways from July to December. And
so there's this partnership, yeah, right? Samuel had the piece to play. We have a piece to play.
It's that faith and works part that James talks about. Faith without works is dead. Like, we were talking with my colleague at work about this, like stewardship and trust. Mm. You know, do we just say, well, I'm just going to trust God, but we're actually not making a plan of stewardship? Or how do we do that? There's this idea that we're just going to, you know, just trust in the air. But our actual practical application of trust is saying, God, how do I do this? Mm. How do I know you don't, you say in your word that, you know, what's that verse you love? A fool sees trouble coming and doesn't make a, no.
The wise man sees disaster and makes a change. Okay. The fool keeps going and suffers for it.
Right. And so if you know that there's like trouble and you're maybe in the trouble, then call out to the Lord. He's eager to meet you, but he will give you practical things to do. It's not just this wishy-washy, like, I'm just trusting God. When I say that, and then please don't get mad at me, everybody, like, because, you know, I wrote a book about cultivating trust and it has this application to it where we want to draw near God. We want to draw near, understand who he is. But at the same time, Lord, what is the practical thing that you're asking us to do to move us forward financially? Because we know that the gazelle from the hand of a hunter, you flee debt as hard as you can. That's a proverb. We said it here before. So we know this is what you say, but we're not sure how to do it. We've never been taught financial literacy. How do we do this practical thing?
So let's just kind of pick on that one just for a second. Remember, there are 2,350 verses in scripture that talk about money, finances, possessions. You know, God is not shy. He wrote it down. He's not shy about telling us this, but let's use that example. So let's say that you and I have something that we want to do. We have a goal, right? We have a goal, right? And then we say, but we don't have enough resources. And we'll just use money. We don't have enough money to get to the goal, but we have enough money to get started towards it.
Okay.
So then this is where the walk of faith and that stewardship and the trust. So we may take the first step and invest the first and say, we have this money, Lord. So how do we move towards our goal? What do we do? And then we're going to listen and say, Lord, what is that?
So that's
but we know scripture says that like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, don't put your hand in pledge, stay away from that, get out, like do whatever it takes. It says, like, don't give your eyes sleep is the next verse to get out from, like, so we know that the Bible really clearly says that if you're going to go and do something, debt is dangerous. And if you find yourself in there, then the encouragement, the strong encouragement is
right.
Get out. And I love that verse because the encouragement is even before you get in, run away from it. So that's the scripture we have. But, so here we have that tension, right?
But I love how you just said, because when you gave that example, like just start moving towards that goal, because you maybe have $10,000, $50,000 of debt on your credit card or whatever it is. And you're like, you want to get rid of the debt. Like that's your goal. Mm-hmm. But actually maybe the goal is paying down in the next 6 months, you know, an extra $2,000 on that debt. Maybe it's moving forward in incremental steps. And I think that's really important because that is where the encouragement can come from. Like, oh, I can put an extra $100 on my debt this month or whatever the number is. I'm just throwing things. But it struck me when you said that sometimes we look and we see the big debt and it overwhelms us and it paralyzes us from actually doing the small steps and the next right thing. Like it really keeps us. So we have actually, you've said this before, and we've posted a little blog on our website, and I'm not sure we've ever talked about it here, but it's SMART and smarter. There's these acronyms that we just, you've talked to me about, and we're just using more often now in 2024 also another.
Right.
So can you tell me a little bit about that acronym SMART and smarter?
Well, basically, this came out of some of my management training. You put that in the notes of George Doran, and I don't remember, but this is a really common management principle that you have SMART goals. And they're applied, you know, it's one of these principles that are applied in all kinds of situations because they work. So SMART is an acrostic, and it stands for specific. Mm-hmm. And I'll just, because there's a couple different iterations, so we'll get it right. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based. That's SMART goals. So specific goals, measurable goals, achievable goal, relevant goal, and time-based. And essentially use that little matrix and you say, if I want to get from point A to point B, I can follow this and I can say, hey, I want to get from here to work. Yes. So it's specific. Is it measurable? It's 60 kilometers. Yes, I can do that. So I can actually measure my progress. I can say I'm a quarter of the way there. I'm a half away there. Right. I'm three quarters of the way there. So I can measure that. That's really important. Is it achievable? Yes. I've done it before, so I have a little bit of hope, but also it's not out of the realm of I'm not setting a goal to go to the moon.
Right.
Well, if it's not achievable, I have to back that goal up to say maybe my goal is first to become an astronaut, right? Yeah. Because that actually is achievable.
Well, and right? I'm thinking of the $50,000 versus the $2,000. Like you're not gonna your goal isn't to pay $50,000 off by the end of the year. Like if you've never done this before, and it might not be achievable in right. that big of a chunk.
Yeah. So really important to have that achievable realism.
At work, yeah.
You know, and then relevant, right? You know, why am I going to work? Like, what's the point? Well, I'm going to work because I want to serve my clients and, I get remunerated for it. So, yes, it's relevant to a whole bunch of other things in my life. And then finally, time-based, you know, and we just say, I want to get there in the next hour. Again, and these things go back on each other. So if I say, hey, I want to get to work in the next 10 minutes, well, that's not achievable. So I have to change my time base so that it becomes achievable. Right. And so that's SMART goals. We just kind of analyzed that a little bit. Through the years, what I found that wasn't quite enough. And so I added an E and an R. So I call it SMARTER goals. And really what the E stands for is to evaluate. Again, you go through the SMART goals. You get in the car, you're driving to work, and then you go, okay, I want to go through my SMART goals again. And when I get to that achievable or relevant or measurable, I'm just checking to see how am I doing? Mm-hmm. And so you just evaluate and you say, you know, again.
Which is kind of what we're doing halfway through the year now.
Sure.
We're evaluating was I able to do what I thought I wanted to do in January? Yeah.
And then the last one, the last R, you could write this with two R's if you really wanted to, because I had that, in some situations you go, hey, I would like to give myself the reward. Mm-hmm. And the reward is a motivator for your goal. And so you'll say, hey, when I get to work, I get to have the coffee out of my favorite coffee maker, whatever it is. So I'm going to reward myself. And so that's great. So I achieved the goal. I'm smarter and I get the reward, right?
So, I mentioned that there is a story that I didn't share, but one of the things that... Yeah. One of the things, tools that have been really helpful financially for us or to move forward toward our financial goal is the emergency cushion.
Yeah.
Even when we had minimal income, sometimes not enough to cover the expenses every month, we were still putting in our spending plan, we'd still put money in that emergency cushion. And we'd use it a lot, but we'd also be filling it up. So there would be always a place we were going. If you don't know about the emergency cushion, please Google. You can go on our website. There's lots of stuff about
it. We've done a couple podcasts.
But here, just to refer to that, the example we use even in the blog that we've posted is about building an emergency cushion in 3 months. Like, so that's us. What's the specific goal? We're going to put $1,000 in the emergency cushion,
And we're going to use it and do that in 3 months.
And we're going to do that in 3 months. It's measurable because we're going to take $350 and put that in there. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to sell secondhand items. I'm going to get extra shifts.
That's the achievable.
Like, yes, this is what we're going to do. And then you look at is this relevant? Well, yes, this emergency cushion is relevant because I'm no longer going to use a credit line. I can have this emergency cushion to go to when things unexpected show up. So that's the R.
And it's relevant because it breaks the cycle of debt.
Yes.
So it has a much bigger relevancy to your financial goal.
Right. And then we're going to do it in 3 months. You know, you give yourself a deadline, like, you know, August 31st or September 30th. And then you ask yourselves other questions. You know, you evaluate, will I be able to get the extra shifts that I need to work to build that emergency cushion? Do I have time and do I have the items and do I have the time to sell these things that are going to help build my emergency cushion? And so then there's the reward and then the repeat. So let's say, I know we're coming to the end of the show, but let's say we haven't quite got the $1,000. Well, we can still keep moving towards the goal and we set another goal. If at the end of 3 months you have 800, well, no, I'm going to work another 2 months and you restart it again. Yeah. But you have this acronym and we have it on our website that helps you. So while you're moving forward, you've looked back, you know, how are we doing in 2024? Mm-hmm. But now we've actually got this little acronym that can help you set goals to move forward in your finances.
Yeah. And I think, again, when we think about smarter goals, this just, a lot of people hate it. A lot of people, you know, again, we can think back to January and go, did we make any resolutions? Did we, you know, but really, and I'm going to go back and maybe end with this as we come to the end of the show. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a target, then what happens is you feel really great about, look at how far that arrow flew. And anybody can shoot an arrow, just pull back the string and let her go. Only the person who's got their eye on the target is going to hit the target, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really important for in the area of finance, maybe less important if you're just out with your friends showing how far you can shoot an arrow. But what's really, again, is to just bring it back home is to say we have this tool that says, hey, don't be scared about setting the goal. Don't be scared about not achieving the goal. Don't be scared about, but just start with what you think you can accomplish. Each step that you take, it doesn't matter how big the step is.
No.
Just make the movement forward towards what your goal is. And this is just, we're just talking about maybe doing some work around what is the goal that you want to set for the next 6 months.
And then how to do that. And really realize this is doing the next right thing. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in increments to move you forward so that a year from now, when you reflect back again, you can say, oh man, look how far I've come. So Father, thank you that you are both practical and relational, and you are here walking with us. Just help us, Lord, at the next stretch of this year, walk out these goals that you are setting in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for joining us. I want to give a big shout out to Financial Discipleship Canada and notmine.ca. And Rev, thanks for joining me this week.
All right.
And we'll join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.